Good morning and welcome to worship today. There's a lot of news around at the moment about vaccines and healing and the NHS. And today we're going to be thinking about a passage that is about healing, about Jesus healing. Faith can bring healing. We've got many stories of Jesus healing, not only physical healing, but so much more. Healing in spirit and mind and body and soul. But in a very short while, Jean will be telling us more about that in her reflection today. Let's listen to our call to worship. We set aside time now to worship God, to give thanks. We put our lives into a different perspective when we take time out to do this. We put our lives into God's perspective. And we ask for God's help and God's strength for whatever the future brings. God heals the brokenhearted. God binds their wounds. God created the heavens and the earth. And yet, God knows the name of each and every one of us. God is alongside each of us. Those with money and those without. Those with health and those who are ill. Those who are happy and those who are sad. We are all surrounded and held in God's loving care. And God calls us now to worship him. We respond with our worship. Let us worship God.
Now, let us pray. Loving God, creator of all that we perceive, mother and father, parent and guardian, our constant in a world of change, we come into your ever-near presence in prayer and in adoration. We ask for guidance in a troubled world, where pain and disease are commonplace. Help us to love our neighbour, to care for the lonely and the sick. And help us to live out our faith and show the compassion of Jesus. Eternal God, we come before you to confess our dedication and profess our commitment to living as you ask. We affirm our place in the world as carriers of your message and instruments of your mission, followers of Jesus, strengthened through the Spirit. Guide us today as we seek to do your work. Living God, we come before you to give thanks for your grace, to give thanks for your eternal love. We come before you, our God, so that we may follow you. Though we may not always succeed, we pray that you will guide us ever onwards towards your company, your life, your love, and your kingdom. All our prayers, this our worship, we offer to you, our God. Amen.
Today's reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. Jesus heals many people. Jesus and his disciples, including James and John, left the synagogue and went straight to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever, and as soon as Jesus arrived, he was told about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. After the sun had set and evening had come, people brought to Jesus all the sick and those who had demons. All the people of the town gathered in front of the house. Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases and drove out many demons. He would not let the demons say anything, because they knew who he was. Very early the next morning, long before daylight, Jesus got up and left the house. He went out to the town to the lonely place where he prayed. But Simon and his companions went out searching for him, and when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus answered, "We must go to the other villages around here. I have to preach in them also, because that is why I came." So he travelled all over Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out the demons.
I was brought up in the Salvation Army and received very good grounding in the stories of Jesus. I knew from an early age that Jesus worked miracles. The ones that really grabbed me were the ones like the feeding of the 5,000 or the stilling of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Yes, there were the healing ones, but to me they didn't seem as dramatic. Jesus was kind and caring, so of course he healed people who were sick. The healing of Peter's mother-in-law being one such occasion. As I grew slightly older, I started to feel a bit uncomfortable about that particular healing. When I was unwell, my mother tucked me up with hot water bottles, kept me warm and really looked after me. I was cosseted. Even when I started feeling better, I was made to take things easy for another couple of days to convalesce. Yet here was Jesus healing the fever and then expecting the woman to get up and to work looking after him and his disciples. No convalescence for Peter's mother-in-law. For me, this didn't fit with the kind and caring person I'd been taught that Jesus was. I was considerably older before I began to see that for Jesus, healing was not simply about curing a specific condition. Healing was about restoring wholeness, allowing the person to be the whole person that God purposed them to be. As Jesus says in John's Gospel, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." As I got older, I had more understanding of the impact that illness and disability had on people's lives. In first century Palestine, illness and disability often cut people off from society. Sometimes, in the case of diseases such as leprosy, a term that covered a whole range of different illnesses, the sufferers were cast out, prevented from mixing, in order to protect others. In many cases, the ill and infirm were avoided because they were considered unclean, and contact with them could render someone else unclean. If you were unclean, you could not take part in religious gatherings and ceremonies of the day. Those with disabilities who were allowed into the temple couldn't enter by the normal day door. They had to use a lesser entrance. And of course, there was a general understanding that disability and illness were caused by sin. At one point, when dealing with a blind man, Jesus' disciples ask him, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" Perhaps our experience of lockdowns may give us a glimpse of what these people endured. But we experience the isolation for a relatively short time, even if it sometimes seems endless. Whereas for the sick and disabled of Jesus' time, it might well have been for the rest of their lives. And without the benefits of technology that allow us to see family and friends and to communicate remotely, Jesus healed body, mind, and spirit. When Jesus dealt with physical ailments, he gave time and care, forgiving, casting out all that troubled the person, showing them that they were valued, treating the whole person. He restored them to their place in society. They could live with their families, attend worship, take part in social gatherings, engage in work. They could live their full lives again. For Peter's mother-in-law, wholeness of life and living life to the full included being able to return to her leading role in the household. This is what Jesus enabled. My childhood thoughts of Jesus being a miracle worker, which included some healing, have changed. I now see Jesus as a healer, a restorer of wholeness, which includes some miracles. Jesus came that we might all be healed of everything that stops us being the whole person, the fullness of the person that God intended. He restores us. We can see the cross and resurrection as the ultimate healing event. By the cross and resurrection, the division between God and man has been healed, a right relationship restored. If Jesus' ministry was one of healing, then, as his followers, we also have a ministry of healing, of restoring wholeness. Now, some will be called and have gifts that are exercised in professional roles in the health service, doctors, nurses, therapists, etc. But most of us will have some involvement with physical healing, healing body, cleaning a graze or a cut, applying a plaster, assisting someone with applying drops, etc. And we all have a part to play in healing mental and emotional conditions, in healing mind. Now, I am most certainly not suggesting that we try to take the place of professional counsellors and therapists. But so often, a smile, a friendly gesture, or a phone call can make a big difference to someone who is lonely, feeling down, grieving. Even with the COVID restrictions, and indeed, especially because of the COVID restrictions, These seemingly small gestures can make a big difference to a person's health and help them feel and be part of the community, help restore them to fullness of life. But this fullness, this wholeness, cannot be fully achieved without considering the spirit as well as the mind and the body. We have a part to play in healing spirit by using the opportunities that present themselves to talk of what our faith means to us, the comfort and joy that knowing Jesus brings, and so enabling others to come to know a loving God. If we keep our eyes and ears open, those opportunities will present themselves. We will not have to force them. Then we have the healing of divisions in society. It's easy to look at America and see that there are angry, ugly divisions that need to be healed. But if we look closer to home, what about divisions in families, in communities, in and between nations? Can we speak words that help bring healing and peace? Where can we help prevent genuinely held different views, political or otherwise, becoming rifts? Can we respect and value difference, religious, ethnic, political? And what about the tremendous challenge confronting us in the need to heal our planet, our environment? Do our daily actions harm or heal? What should we change? If all this seems far too much and we would rather just hide away, perhaps we should look at the verses of our reading that follow the accounts of healing. Verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus took time out to spend specifically with his Father, to pray, to listen, to rest, and to renew his own strength. We always need to remember that the healing and restoring to wholeness is the work of God, something that he will sometimes accomplish through us. It is not something we do by ourselves in our own strength. In order to help heal others, we need to accept the healing so freely offered by God. Time spent with our Father, listening, praying, receiving guidance, and renewing our strength is a time of healing for ourselves. We need to take time out to rest in God's arms, allowing him to bring us to the wholeness of the person he purposes to be, and allowing him to guide us in our actions. We follow our Lord and God, we do not lead him. Jesus' first disciples had yet to understand the importance of this spiritual time out. They didn't understand Jesus' need to commune with his Father. When they discovered he wasn't in the house, Simon and his companions went to look for him. They tracked him down. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." They wanted to get on with the action, wanted to see the next big thing that Jesus was going to do. One of the most important aspects of helping others to heal, to become whole, is to encourage them, to allow them to take time out to rest, reflect, and heal. There are so many working under immense pressure at the moment. Those in the NHS, carers, the emergency services, and many other key workers. Like Peter's mother-in-law, they may find their work important to their sense of wholeness. And like all of us, they need time to rest and heal. They desperately need time to rest and heal. Each one of us has a responsibility to ensure that the way we behave, our actions do not hinder this, that we do not put more pressure on others and prevent them having time out to rest and heal. Today, as 2,000 years ago, Jesus is a healer. He will bring us to the wholeness God purposes. We have to allow him to do that for ourselves and for others. And, as with Peter's mother-in-law, our wholeness involves getting up and serving.
And now let us bring our prayers for others and for ourselves. Eternally loving God, we give thanks for all that we are and all that you have given us. As we come before you in our worship today, we give thanks for your work in the world, seen through all those who have dedicated their lives to caring for others, for those who work tirelessly and thanklessly. We ask your blessing on them, and that we too may care for those around us and all who cross our path. And at this time we think of all those rolling out vaccinations, caring for the ill, comforting the anxious. We pray for all your people, for those sharing with us in these moments of worship, for those in their own homes, for those working just now, for people we know and people we don't know all around the world. We pray that they will seek to follow you, to love and to care for each other, that they will know that they are loved for who they are, just as you made them. We pray for all those who are struggling with ill health in whatever form it takes, those who worry about themselves, their families, their finances, their jobs. Hold them close to you, O God. Guide them through their difficult times, bringing healing and peace to all your children who suffer. We pray for your church in Scotland and across the world in these difficult times when it seems even harder to carry out your mission. Grant to all in positions of authority and leadership the wisdom to see your vision and to know what is needed, that we might be an effective and efficient church, your body, seeking your will for our times. Lord God, help us, that we might rise up and serve you and one another. All our prayers, all the thoughts in our hearts, our longings, our hopes, our dreams, we offer them all to you, God of love, God of healing, God of service. Amen.
This is the point in our worship where we think about what we offer to God and dedicate that to him and to his work. We bring our offerings, ourselves, our money, our time, our talents to God, knowing that they are not ours, but they are there to help others, to ensure that all share in God's care. We recognise that wherever there is sorrow or suffering, hunger or hardship, God is there through us reaching out and touching the lives of people. We share the pain and we call to God to help us to look after people in the caring and sharing of his love. Teach us, Lord, what we can offer. Teach us where we can offer this. And teach us when we can offer. For we are conscious that whatever we do in your name. In the name of God who taught us, as we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours, God, is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever. Amen.
We cannot measure how you heal or answer every sufferer's prayer, yet we believe your grace responds where faith and doubt unite to care. Your hands, though bloodied on the cross, survive to hold and heal and warm, to carry all through death to life and cradle children yet unborn. The pain that will not go, but present too is love which tends the heart we never hope to find, the private agonies inside, the memories that haunt the mind. So some have come who need your help, and some have come to make amends, as hands which shaped and saved the world are present in the touch of friends. Lord, let your Spirit meet us here, to mend the body, mind and soul, to disentangle peace from pain, and make your broken people whole. On
Monday, the 1st of February, I sent out a letter and made many phone calls to the news that I would be retiring from ministry. Easter Sunday will be the last time that I'm involved in worship, and soon after that we will be moving from this area. We've had a great time here, and I've totally enjoyed serving the two parishes that I've worked in, Aharickle and Ardnamurchan. We've had some wonderful times, challenging times, and we will be very sorry to move on. My prayer for you all is that you continue to love and serve God by loving and serving each other. changing times here, changing times in the church. But whatever it is, I know that the Spirit of God will be guiding everything that the church does. And I ask for God's blessing on that, on the future of all in this area. And talking of God's blessing, may the God of grace breathe health into your body, love into your hearts, peace in your minds, and joy in your spirit. Go now, your life filled to overflowing, and be poured out in the service of God, in the name of Christ, and through the power of the Spirit. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen.
And just before you go, can I say that I and I know all my colleagues around Lochaber Presbytery will be very sorry to see Fiona leave from our midst, but we wish her and David all the very best for this next chapter in life. The Presbytery of Lochaber will be making decisions about the future ministry and mission in Ardnamurchan and Acharachal. And in that connection, some decisions have already been made. The Vacancy Procedure Committee has been appointed, and I now have this formal edict to read to you. An edict which in other times might have been displayed at the church building and read by Sunday pulpit intimation. But in these times, it has been shared on social media, on the Presbytery website, and now in this video. Notice is hereby given that the Reverend Fiona Ogg has given notice of her intention to demit the charge of Ardnamurchan linked with Acharachal. The Vacancy Procedure Committee, comprising the Reverend Sandy Stoddart, Reverend Richard Baxter, Reverend Marion Kinnear, Mr. Bill Skeen, and Reverend Anne Winning, has been appointed and agreed by telephone conversations to the Reverend Fiona Ogg's request that her early retirement takes effect from the 18th of April, with Easter Sunday, the 4th of April, being her last Sunday. The committee also agreed to appoint Mr. John Arnold, session clerk at Northwest Lochaber, to be interim moderator. The Presbytery, through its planning committee, in consultation with the Vacancy Procedure Committee, will bring further proposals in due course. The above decisions will be upheld unless at least four persons who are either communicant members within the charge of Acharachal and Ardnamurchan, or full members of Presbytery, together or separately, submit to the Presbytery clerk a request for this proposal to be considered at a full meeting of the Presbytery. Any such request must set out the relevant reasons and be submitted by post or email to the Presbytery clerk by Sunday the 14th of February. If four valid requests are received, then the above stated proposal will be suspended and the approval of Presbytery will be required. If no such requests are made, the Presbytery will proceed with the above arrangements. In the name of Lochaber Presbytery, Reverend Donald McCorkindale, Presbytery Clerk. Thank you, and may God bless us all in these times.